him to whom we have become the Son. Who is Jesus Christ? What was he? This is a question that the world continues to ask, also in this our day. And the answers which are given vary from one to the other, and too often vary quite diametrically from the same witness of the Scriptures. Recently, an expert in ancient history of the Mediterranean world took upon himself to write a biographical analysis of Jesus of Nazareth. Since the supernatural is beyond the ken of these historians, he disallowed any supernatural elements and explained these as later editions of the early church. The Christ which he painted with a graphic and highly innovative pen may be briefly characterized in this way. Jesus, according to this man, was merely an ordinary human being, the son of Joseph and Mary. He was baptized for his own sins by John the Baptist. Although academically untrained, he was excellent in expounding the Scriptures. Jesus performed no miracles, but any references to these are strictly symbolical language in the thought pattern of the early church. The empty tomb is a historical fact that precepts the body and word was taken is something that can never be ascertained. The risen and the ascended Christ is a later creation of the early church. In essence, this is a time of the Christ that this man came up with. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Is he truly the Messiah? And will he declare himself in the coming Passover season? As you read the text of the various gospels as they parallel each other, it becomes rather apparent that these questions are rather important to the minds of the people of Galilee as they made their way down the Jordan Valley to Jericho and their way up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. And as we look at our text, the third section of the lesson verse today, we notice that Jesus did declare himself to be the Messiah, in terms which were at least partly understood by those who were with him. In old Jericho, two blind men heard that he was coming and persisted in thinking, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us." Now, we need to remember that in the ancient Near East, as well as in the modern, blindness is a very common phenomenon, and there is and was too little concern about blind people. Before the crowd tried to shut down the superstition pleaders, but Jesus heard their anxious cry, and his response was, "Receive your sight, your faith has saved you." The old pleaders, writer Luke, but he very carefully notes with us that the people praised God. They praised him that finally Jesus had accepted the Messianic term, that he had finally permitted people to call him the Son of David, which was a very fitting term in the thought pattern of the Scriptures and other people of that day. And by giving sight to the blind, he had given proof positive that he truly was that of which the prophet Isaiah had spoken many years ago. But Jesus was concerned that they would understand that he was not their kind of a Messiah. Before as he entered suburban Jericho, he saw Zacchaeus, the overseer of the tax collector for the people of Rome. From the viewpoint of the people of that day, Zacchaeus and his colleagues would have no part in the coming of God's kingdom, because after all, they were traitors to the covenant God and traitors to God's covenant people. But Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today." And there the lesson tells us Jesus spoke words of forgiveness and of salvation. Before by this action, Jesus very dramatically told the people the kind of Messiah that he is, that he had come to save sinners, not the reward those who consider themselves the ethnically righteous members of God's kingdom. And as you heard before, the people reacted, and the tense of the verb interchange, they kept on grumbling that Jesus would do such an incredible thing, to go into the house of one who is chief as a tax collector. You and I are faced with a similar question. And Jesus had put it this way to his disciples some months before when he asked them, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" As we study in the various subject areas of our seminary training, this question needs constantly to be before us. We need to see, not only intellectually, but much more importantly with the humble eyes of faith, all that the scriptures tell us about Jesus, who is our Savior and our Lord. To the call of God's Spirit working through the Word as we study, we need to see more extensively and intensively what the scriptures tell us about Him, who is our life, who is our salvation. This one is to say that daily preparation for the various classes that we have needs always to be a faith strengthening, a faith building experience. We need to see both with the eyes of the mind as well as with the heart, the splendor of Him of whom Paul says these beautiful words when he says, "Although He was God, He decided not to take advantage of His being equal with God, as though it were so in gift. But He emptied Himself, made Himself a slave, became like other human beings, and was seen to have the ways of a man. He became obedient and humbled Himself to be died, yes, died on the cross. And that is why God also raised Him up on high and gave Him the name above every other name, that the name of Jesus everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth should kneel and everyone should confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, and so give glory to God the Father." To the power of His Spirit, may we pray to hear that in our daily and individual lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
And the three seminarian Dale Hanson.
What they say? Matthew 22, 15 through 22. The Pharisees went off and made a plan to trap Jesus with questions. Then they sent to him some of their disciples and some members of Herod's party. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you tell the truth. You teach the truth about God's will for man without worrying about what people think, because you pay no attention to a man's status. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it against our law to pay taxes to the Roman emperor or not?" Jesus, however, was aware of their evil plan, and so he said, "You hypocrites,